If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of 3Maw.
Welcome into another 3Maw pod. I am your host today, Cole Manbeck, joined as always by publisher and editor at K-State Online on the On3 platform, Derek Young. No John Kurtz today, but we'll get through it without John. And we are here to talk a lot of newsworthy items, transfer portal on both the basketball and the football front, getting you all of your news and updates on what's going on, the latest there. We're going to start this show off talking hoops because there's been a lot of activity over the last few days on that front. And then we're going to talk to DY and get his thoughts on the addition of Dylan Edwards, the dynamic running back, through the football portal that landed at Kansas State over the weekend. John and I did a show, many of you probably already listened to it, that released on Sunday evening, talking about the news of Dylan Edwards landing at K-State. We'll get DY's thoughts here later on in the show and get the latest on the football recruiting front via the transfer portal as well. But first, as always, have to thank our friends over at Holiday Distillery. Go get stocked up with your Ben Holiday bottled and bond bourbon. Some of the K-State coaches might be using it one way or another right now, might need a shot of that to get through the transfer portal on the basketball front with the chaos and activity that's going on in that. And the transfer portal window closes on May 1st on both fronts for football and basketball. And hey, the football staff might have toasted a glass on Sunday evening as they landed Dylan Edwards, the Colorado transfer running back, Wichita native, one of the faster players in the country. So go get your Ben Holiday bottled and bond bourbon. Terrific stuff. I've got multiple bottles down in my basement bar on the shelf. It's amazing. Go get stocked up with it. Or if 360 vodka is your taste and what you prefer, go get some 360 vodka from Holiday Distillery. All right, DY. A lot of stuff has happened over the last few days. In fact, let's just start off with the breaking news that occurred on Sunday late afternoon with Day-Day Ames, K-State's freshman point guard, entering the transfer portal. He becomes the sixth Wildcat to enter the portal since the end of the season. Wes Glover, RJ Jones, both entered over the last few days as well. And before that, Dorian Fennister, Cam Carter, and Jarrell Colbert entered the portal. But Day-Day Ames was a guy that I think a lot of fans had attached to and saw a lot of promising hopes down the stretch of the season. So this one might have stung more than most of them for some of the fans. What's your reaction to the news of Ames entering the portal?
Yeah, it's disappointing because clearly he would still have a role and probably a very sizable one, similar to last year. A little bit different, maybe. I don't know. None of us would really be able to 100% put our finger on what that would look like. But he was, you know, not someone that was going to fade in the rotation whatsoever. In fact, you know, he wouldn't be the top option, I don't think. But he would have been someone that could probably benefit from being around, you know, the new talent that, you know, Kansas State is planning on adding to the roster. But it's just a product of the new age of roster building, a new hurdle that you have to navigate. And you know, you look at how many spots are left and how many conceivable targets that are on the board. You know, even going from a Baba Miller that's still available and already visited Kansas State, Clifford Amori, The big man from Rutgers that already visited Kansas State, Khalif Battle, the Arkansas, you know, guard, wing, whatever you want to call him, that already visited Kansas State. Yeah, I don't know that I would say it's likely you go 100% on those three. It's probably unlikely if you just play the odds. But K-State's in the mix for those guys. And you consider, I think, you probably have four or five open spots. It's, you know, some of that's depending on what Arthur Kaluma also decides to do. Then you kind of play this on your head. You probably have to come up with and they probably had this in the, you know, works for a few weeks, guys, that they might still turn to at some point in the transfer portal. But it's just like you think about that and the roster construction and how you could assemble, you know, your ideal 12, 13-man roster. And I say 12 just because it's so tough to keep everybody happy at this point too. But just keeping one of like RJ Jones, Data Ames, and Quez Glover would have been probably, you know, a good thing. It would have made this a lot more manageable, a lot more navigable of compiling this roster. It's a bummer that all three opted to leave. I'm probably more specifically Data Ames just because of the trajectory and where that one was going. But Jerome Tang would probably be able to fulfill his vision, or at least really, really close to it, if one of those stayed. But again, it's hard to build out a roster and, you know, stack dudes in talent in this day and age without alienating someone you might want to keep.
It's a challenge. I don't know how you navigate through this. I mean, look, day-to-day, the portal window ends and the ability to enter on May 1st. So we were right up against that. And obviously, day-to-day chose to enter with the do not contact tag, which is interesting. When he entered the portal, tagged his agent. So, yeah, it's a tough one. But, like, I'll be honest with you, D.Y., like, it didn't bother me all that much. Like, I saw the glimpses of Day-Day Ames, and the staff wanted to keep Day-Day. So I'm not here to, like, run Day-Day down necessarily, but he did rank 87th out of 88 in the Big 12 in offensive rating this year out of all the eligible players, just ahead of El Marco Jackson, KU's talented five-star guard who was a freshman. And, yeah, not a ton of freshmen are on that list of eligible players because not a ton of true freshmen are playing the minutes that Day-Day Ames was playing. But, you know, he also was third to last in the Big 12 and turnover rate at over 25% last year. We saw glimpses of promise, especially down the stretch. I would have liked to have kept Data Ames. I think that would have been for the best. But I do think there's guys out there that K-State could land with upside that could potentially replace him. Any thoughts on who they may go after, or any potential targets on that front?
Nothing that I've necessarily heard, but you know, you look at a guy in the same class that they also chased was like Leighton Blocker, right? So that one makes sense. They went after him hard at a high school. I'm pretty sure he was in that same high school class as like RJ Jones, Data Ames, and Buddy. I think they were all true freshmen last year. So I think that one could make some sense. Not that I know that it's actually happening. I'm not sure one way or the other if it is, or if that's one place that they could turn. But if they opt to, I think that's probably one that's still on the board, right? So he's been in the portal a while. I haven't heard of any visits. I haven't heard of a decision. So you wonder if that one's perhaps doable on some level. Now, and maybe I should just not be that concerned, but that I weigh in my head too on that front that, you know, Arkansas was a complete disaster this past year. And then you've already added Bay Fall from Arkansas. And, you know, Khalif Battle is a target. And now Leighton Blocker, should they decide to pursue him, like, do you want 25% of a roster that was a disaster? You know, that's probably something that needs to be considered as well. But they're all super talented, and maybe the pieces just didn't fit, and that was just a product of just chaos there in Fayetteville a year ago. But that would be something that would cross my mind a little bit, I won't lie.
Yeah, Leighton Blocker, you know this, D.Y., I've been talking about him for a long time, ever since the portal window opened. It's a guy that I would love to add. He's a little bit of a bigger point guard, stronger point guard than Day-Day Ames. He was a top 50 recruit in the 2023 recruiting class. K-State finished second in his recruitment behind Arkansas. averaged around 3.5 points per game this last year, but did show flashes. I mean, he had some games where he really popped, especially in the non-con against Duke and North Carolina. I think he had games of 11 points, 9 points against both those teams. His minutes went up and down throughout the season, but Arkansas was a mess, to your point. Now, I do think, I mean, Bayfall, Layden Blocker, they didn't really get many minutes on that team. And Caleb Battle, I think, is an ultimate, you know, a dynamic scorer and talent that you can't turn down. You just have to hope the culture and everything at K-State, it was probably other issues with Musselman and the way it seemed like he was maybe checked out on the Razorbacks as the season went on. Just a mess this last year for that program. So I would be okay. I trust the staff with adding those three pieces because I think they're tremendous talents if they were to land them. So we'll see what happens on that front. But to your point earlier that you made, I mean, Jerome Tang just said on the pod on 3Ma recently with us a couple weeks ago that he was excited to have multiple point guards this year on his roster and talked about Quez Glover coming back. And then there was talk of Data Ames, obviously. And now they really only have one point guard active on the roster, although CJ Jones played the point some at Illinois-Chicago. He's a bigger guard at 6'5", but you got Doug McDaniel, obviously the top priority get that Kansas State landed in the transfer portal out of Michigan, very talented point guard that they're going to trust a lot, but do think they need another ball handler now. They've had five guys that are guards enter the portal so far to date, six guys overall. Though, again, I do think it's important to keep perspective that the guys that they have lost, only one of them averaged over 5 points per game this last year, and that was Cam Carter, 14.6 points per game and 35 minutes per contest. And we know that Cam did have his struggles this last year, shooting 39% and a negative assist to turnover ratio. So, okay, before we go to break, I guess we'll level set you then on the roster because you kind of hit on it, DY, and then we'll dive into some of the new commitments that Kansas State has landed before getting into football. So the current roster has eight commitments or signees on it currently as of April 29th when we're recording this. Doug McDaniel, the point guard, CJ Jones, more of a combo guard. Brendan Housen, the transfers guard, 6'4" guard from Villanova who can really shoot it. Buddy Rich, who's a sophomore forward. David Gasson, going to be a fifth-year senior. We anticipate him back. Bayfall, the new center that the Wildcats landed over the weekend, former McDonald's All-American. Taj Manning. And then incoming freshman point guard, top 50, top 60 recruit, David Castillo out of Oklahoma. They're waiting on the return and decision of Arthur Kaluma. That's going to drag out a little while as he tests the NBA waters. He could come back. He may not. So we know there's eight guys definitively back. Arthur Kaluma could be the ninth. You have 13 scholarships to allocate. And then they feel really good about where they sit with Arkansas transfer guard, Caliph Battle, and which would be potentially 10. So then they would be looking, if they lay in Battle and Kaluma comes back, they'd be looking at three openings to fill. And Jerome Tang said he wants to fill this roster by in the next couple of weeks. He told us on 3Ma, you and John, by June 1st, which is probably looking like the more realistic target date at this point. So we'll go to break, and then DY, we'll come back and we'll talk to you about each individual addition that the Wildcats have landed over the past few days and get your thoughts before talking football. But first, we got to tell you, as always, about Home Field Apparel. Get on over to homefieldapparel.com. Big supporters of the show. I'm rocking a Home Field Apparel hoodie right now from them. They've got over 50 items. They had their newest drop a few weeks ago on the K-State site. They got over 50 K-State items on there. But I think they also might have some Colorado gear that somebody might be rocking. If you're watching on YouTube, there is DY with his patented opposing school sweatshirt. DY, you got Colorado there. You got the Colorado mini helmet. For those that aren't watching, are you a closet Buffs fan, DY?
Yeah, I'm going to get Dylan Edwards Colorado gear now too. You know, it's probably archived at this point.
You can probably get it on clearance there now. DY, do you have, I mean, you must be Home Field's biggest supporter.
I need an NIL deal with Home Field.
How many schools do you think you have now of Home Field?
Too many, but I think I enjoy it, so it's whatever. They need to, if they're listening to any of these, and I don't know if that they are, but I will keep rocking all different kinds of fan gear, and it might encourage others to buy different other teams rather than just K-State. So,
over 100 different schools to choose from, and DY is the perfect example of that, as I've seen him rock now probably 15 to 20 different schools on the 3 Mile podcast of Home Field Apparel Ghoul. It all looks awesome. It looks cool. That's the whole point of it. They have awesome apparel over there. They have these cool K-State retro hats as well. We're going to get our hands on a couple of those and start rocking those too. So get stocked up. And we've got the discount code to save you a little bit of money when you go to checkout with discount code 3MAW23. Enter 3MAW23 when you go to checkout and you'll score 15% off. Again, go to homefieldapparel.com, check them out, and support them as they support us at 3MAW.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, you know, I hated DY to start off with the negative of Data Ames entering the portal, but that's kind of the nature of it, I guess. You know, we were planning to talk all positive things going in. Things were feeling really good going into Sunday with some of the news that we were getting, and then the Data Ames news hit. So now let's shift gears and let's talk more positive, you know, and let's maybe go in chronological order of how the commitments came in over the last few days. K-State landed the commitment, I believe it was on Friday, when Brendan Housen, talented shooting guard for Villanova, announced his commitment to Kansas State. 6'4 guard, shooting 39% from his career from three, can really light it up from beyond the arc, although I think he's wanting to become an even more complete player, and the staff sees that in him. Just what do you make of the addition of Housen and what it means for this team?
You gotta shoot better. Kansas State was 31% from the three-point line as a team last year. He's nearly career 40% from that spot on the floor through his first 2 years in college. So I think that's the big thing. He wants to expand his game. He wants to be more than just a shooter. And Kansas State will try to facilitate that and help him out in that capacity. It'll be interesting how quickly that is unwinds, right? So you don't want him to do too much out of what he is really, really good at, but I understand that, you know, part of landing someone like this is also trying to develop them, make them a more complete player as well.
Yeah, former top 75 recruit coming out of high school in the 2022 recruiting class from Amarillo, Texas, as we talked about earlier, nickname coined the Amarillo Assassin, a nickname that John loves. He can really shoot it, 61 of 180, I think, this last year at Villanova from beyond the arc. Big-time shooter, one of the best shooters in basketball. So really like this addition, and you hit on it, DY. I mean, they're adding quite a bit of shooting to this roster. When you look at it, Doug McDaniel, 36.3% in his career on 245 attempts. Brendan Housen, 39% in his career from three. And then CJ Jones, right around, 38%, I believe, in his career. So to date, they've added some guys that can knock it down from the perimeter. And then Caliph Battle, if they were to land him, would be another guy, career 35.3% shooter on over 500 attempts. All right. Let's shift to Saturday, because the news came daily on that front. K-State landed former McDonald's All-American Bay Fall. D-Way, I think you had intel for a while and even wrote on 3 after the fact but we know what intel you had before that. But this is one K-State felt very, very good about heading into the visit, which kind of came out of nowhere to most fans, hadn't known about the visit happening, but it came out on Friday. He was visiting K-State. You broke that. And soon after, he was committed by Saturday night, committed officially, I guess to say.
Yeah, I think this was one that was probably in the cards and wrapped up and you know, gifted to Kansas State quite early in the process. I believe he has a familial connection to Rodney Perry, which I'm sure played a role. Kansas State recruited him when he was a high school prospect as well. I think if from the Colorado area, or at least was on a AAU team and maybe a prep team in that part of the country. At least I don't necessarily, he could have been somewhere else. I'm not necessarily sure, but high upside guy, like you said, former McDonald's All-American, a damn near five-star recruit as well at one point, you know, in high school, a massive human being, more height than girth, I would say. Probably needs to, you know, hit the weight room even a little bit more than he already has, but you're getting someone that clearly has the tools and the traits to be a special player and needs to be developed. But again, as we've said already in this show about that Arkansas program in the last calendar year, I don't know that there was an environment conducive to developing. So you're getting a lot of untapped potential here. You needed another big. You still need another big. So this fills a need. It's a great pickup. And again, I you know, he made it official on Saturday. He visited over the weekend. I think it was probably a done deal even before that.
Yeah, you like guys that make a quick decision like that and have a lot of trust in the staff. DY, didn't you also say, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that Musselman tried to get him to follow him to USC? Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's probably what they were, you know, going up against. I'm not sure what else was at play, what other options he had on the table, but I believe that, you know, it was always one. But, you know, I think he was looking for something that he knew he could get at K-State, and he wasn't going to mess around too much with that.
Yeah, look, Bayfall, at a level set for our listeners, top 35 recruit in the country. He was number 31 in the On3 industry consensus rankings. All of the recruiting services had him as a top five power forward coming out of the 2023 recruiting class. Now, he's going to be a center at K-State. He was 6'11". 7'4" wingspan. He can't coach length. He's tremendously athletic. He does have to get stronger. He's got to gain weight. Nobody we trust more than Phil Beyer, Kansas State strength and conditioning coach. They'll have a plan in place. They'll get some muscle on him, get him stronger. He was a little bit raw coming out of high school, but, you know, elite talent. And let's be honest here, like, one of the things I think is important to call out, DY, is in the nature of the transfer portal, it feels like a lot of freshmen kind of get forgotten about it. High school recruiting, et cetera. If you're not successful immediately as a freshman, you kind of just feel like you get cast aside now. And Bayfall played in 9 games and 45 total minutes as a true freshman this last year for Arkansas. But just a year ago, had he committed and signed to Kansas State, K-State fans would have been over the moon to have him on their roster. And everybody knew he was a developmental guy. Like, he wasn't going to be a guy that was going to put up big numbers as a true freshman. So nothing has really changed in my eyes for Bayfall's future. I think K-State fans should be ecstatic about this, and I just think there's maybe some areas where you could take advantage of some freshmen that didn't perform right out of the gate being overlooked, like a Bayfall, like a Layden Blocker.
No, I agree, and the landscape is so much different. It, you know, we can make this comparison. 10 to 15 years ago, it was much easier for a true freshman to have an impact on the game of college basketball, and in many ways, the best talent, the best players were freshmen there for a while. Now, you think of like the heyday of John Calipari at Kentucky when he had a lot of those one and dones were kind of dominating college basketball. Kansas State had one, and Michael Beasley. So, but fast forward to the landscape now, because NIL can entice players to stay in college longer. We're also still dealing with the COVID year, so you got players on campus for a 6th and 7th year, and that being common. So you have all these players staying in college longer. It's hard for true freshmen to play and have a direct positive impact on the game of college basketball. The teams that were really feasting on high school recruiting that haven't delved into the transfer portal recruitments to get better and to be experienced have struggled in the last decade, quite frankly, to morph into that. Think about Tom Izzo at Michigan State. I think that's a clear example that they haven't delved into the transfer portal. So it's just a different time. And like you said, that's directly impacting high school recruiting. It's directly impacting true freshmen when they are on campus. And so few of them are having a ton of what they would consider success out of the gate. I think you just saw that. I mean, Kansas State's kind of dealing out with Data Ames. So you're, because of that, the product is teams are giving up on these guys too early, or the kids are giving up on the school too early and want to go somewhere else because they feel like it's the problem is where they are. So we'll see if there is some kind of self-correction, course correction here. I think the COVID year, I think we're about to be in the last year of it. I think that will alleviate some of the stress. But and I've said it before, NIL without guardrails is probably not an entirely healthy situation, although I think the current model might be more favorable to Kansas State than what the future one might be in terms of NIL. That's why I think regulation-wise, I think it's more important to put the guardrails and the clamps down on the ease of transfer, because this like whole paid mercenary situation, 1 year contracts, essentially chaotic free agency every year, no continuity. I don't know that that's healthy. And, also it makes life miserable for coaches at the same time. And no one's wanting to compete anymore because you don't have to. And so we'll see, but long story short, yes, I think freshmen get lost in the shuffle. I think high school recruits get lost in the shuffle because so much of what the game is now is conducive to these older players because they are now sticking in college basketball longer, which isn't a bad thing in general. It's making it so there's a lot more talent in college basketball than there used to be because some of these guys would already be in the NBA.
I just want to circle back to what you said about maybe more importance on taking care of some of this transfer portal stuff and putting some sort of cap on that versus NIL, because I agree with that. I mean, that it's not sustainable. You're going to lose coaches in this industry as a result. And something that hit home and resonated with me as somebody on our Discord over at patreon.com/3ma posted yesterday after Day Day entered the portal is that, his daughter really liked Day Day, I believe is what he had said. And he gets attached, kids get attached to these players. You got the youth watching these guys, and they just leave after 1 year. I think about my son, Brody. He was attached to Marquise Noel. He would have been devastated if Marquise left, but he didn't. Obviously, he stuck it out at Kansas State, had a lot of success, and then moved on. But it's tough on the youth, too, like growing up idolizing some of these guys and then having to explain to them, like, they just up and out every year and leave. They don't want to, they don't want to compete, or they're just going out trying to get more money, go out to the highest bidder. It's a tough message.
Yeah, there's a lot of give and take right now because it's also making the sport more exhilarating and fun to follow all year round because now the off season there is more of an entertaining element to the off season because you are actually not adding just high school players that are unproven. You're now adding players that are legit and sometimes stars, right? I mean, Kansas State just got Doug McDaniel. That's a big freaking deal. They got Keontae Johnson, big freaking deal, right? So that portion of it is exciting, but you also, you're going to lose a little bit of affection, I hate to romanticize college sports, but the bond between fan base and roster, which I think is still important at the college level, that's part of it's going to be lost if it's just going to be entirely new roster every year. So I think there's a delicate balance and at some point, they're going to have to find it. I mean, I'm not smart enough to know what that is, but guys, if we're going to live in an era where it's more common to be at three different schools than just one, I don't know that over time you're going to keep the fanatics, engaged with the sport.
Yeah, I agree with that. One more quick note on Bayfall. I think part of the reason this was probably wrapped up so quietly and quickly was due to relationships. K-State, you mentioned earlier the Rodney Perry relationship as well, but Jerome Tang recruited him when he was at Baylor, recruited him when he was at K-State, trying to get him to land with the Wildcats. K-State finished in his top seven before he ultimately chose Arkansas. This is what he told Joe Tipton of On3 during his recruitment out of high school. Quote, I have a good relationship with Coach Tang. He recruited me while I was at Baylor. He's a good, honest, really good guy. I have a good relationship with the other coaches on the staff as well. End quote. He also at one point had offers from Texas, Auburn, Arizona, KU, Baylor, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Oregon, name just a few, before ultimately choosing Arkansas. So big time talent here. He'll take a little time to develop, but he's your perfect guy for your number two center, which then helps us pivot to the priority as the number one center that K-State may be after DY, and that is Clifford Amore, the Rutgers big man transfer who was on campus Wednesday through Friday of last week, April 24th to the 26th. At one point, we thought K-State might be able to secure his services before he left town. That is a really tricky recruitment to follow. He is the number two ranked center in the entire transfer portal. He's a top 10 transfer portal target overall. And it's getting a little thin on talented centers that are currently in the portal before that May 1 window ends for guys to enter. What do you make of Clifford Amore's recruitment, which I think, DY, we thought went from promising to potentially dead to now feeling potentially promising again?
There's a heartbeat. There's a heartbeat again. Look, the latest development was like he left campus without committing and don't feel good. Then it kind of morphed into they're going to keep recruiting him. He's going to keep considering them. So it's there might be some life to it. And you know, part of it is then the pressure and the heat kind of goes up when Nick Pringle goes to South Carolina. It'll be interesting for me. I don't know about you. I'll be intrigued to see if any other names pop up. They probably need to a point. You need to cover your bases, so it'll be interesting to see who those are. We don't really know at this point. We know it's Clifford Amore, but Nick Pringle committed to South Carolina kind of shrinks that target list even further. And obviously you want to add someone in addition to Bayfall under the basket, and Clifford Amore would be perfect for that. You know, it was said that he was going to arrive in Tuscaloosa for his Alabama official visit last night. I was told that was, you know, still in the plans as of late last night. I'll have to check back if he actually did end up getting to campus, because as, you know, real time here, as we're live, not live, but when me and you are talking about this at 8:42 a.m. on Monday morning, On3's basketball insiders, both Joe Tipton and Jamie Shaw, have now logged predictions that Alabama will land Kentucky big man Ugonna Anyanso. So that is a big deal. That will likely eliminate, assuming that does come to fruition and they land Anyanso from Kentucky, a similar big, to be quite honest, that would be a great pickup for Alabama. You're not getting, that's, you know, he's on the Anyansos, the Pringles, the Ballows, the Amores, those are all like the cut Adu. Those are all the type of bigs that everybody wants right now. If Alabama gets Anyanso, they're probably out on the cliff. And then you're looking at maybe a Kansas State versus North Carolina battle for Amore at that point. North Carolina hasn't landed anyone yet. They're still trying to get into the Jonas Adu sweepstakes, the transfer from Tennessee. They're still trying to get, and they'll get a visit from Clifford Amore, at least supposed to. And that's, I think, scheduled for Thursday. So, but if, and to Kent State, do you feel great if North Carolina gets Adu? You feel better, but then maybe Baylor comes back into the mix for Clifford Amore as well. I think Trilly Donovan kind of said it best actually last week, and where it's kind of just a game of musical chairs when it comes to these big men, the four or five that I listed, although Ballow didn't really waste any time.
Yeah. Well, first of all, nice pronunciation on Anyanso. I was trying to figure out how to pronounce it. I've watched it.
I know last name is Anyanso.
Yeah. No, you got it. I'm pretty sure you got it right from my watching Kentucky games. And look, he's a bit. He doesn't have the career output of a Clifford Amore, but very similar players in the sense that, consider Clifford Amore averaged 2.9 blocks per game in around 27 minutes this year. Anyanso averaged 2.8 in 18 minutes. He's one of the best shot blockers, if not the best shot blocker in the country. So it's hard to foresee them landing both Anyanso and Amore. I think Anyanso is going somewhere to start. So if Bama gets him, they're out on Clifford Amore.
Yeah, I would agree. Especially, let's be honest, you can't really when you have to think about the rest of your roster, you can't devote that much money to,
right.
to that position too. Yeah. So it becomes a money kind of thing as well. And with Onyenso, you said it, those numbers are great. And I think the complaint, maybe by him, I don't know that, but definitely by fans at Kentucky, was that why didn't he play more? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So then, as you mentioned, Jonas Adu, Tennessee big man, who's also one of the most coveted centers in the portal. He's from the North Carolina area. He's not far from Chapel Hill, where he grew up. And it sounds like, you know, potentially UNC, Baylor for him. He took an official visit to Baylor recently. It seems like Baylor feels like they have a good shot. Baylor desperately needs a big man. They lost their JUCO big man after Alvin Brooks left Misi. Yeah, Misi's going pro, their talented freshman big man. And then their top signee big man, a JUCO big out of McCook, Nebraska, decommitted, got out of his letter of intent last week after Alvin Brooks, the associate head coach at Baylor, left and took an assistant coaching job at Kentucky under Mark Pope. And so, you know, they've lost him now. So where does that leave Baylor in their pursuit of a big man? They've had a lot of success with bigs from Africa, and Clifford Amore is from Nigeria originally, so I'm sure they could sell that. And Trilly Donovan actually kind of hinted that Baylor could become a threat if they don't get Jonas Adu. So I'll ask you this, because this was on our Discord today, D.Y. Let's say Alabama is out potentially for Clifford Amore, and it's down to UNC, Baylor, and K-State. Who would you rather land Jonas Adu to take out of the competition for Clifford Amore? Who would you rather K-State be going up against for Amore, UNC or Baylor?
Yeah, and you know, some people are saying like Baylor is really a troubling threat for Kansas State should they be dive head first into the Amore sweepstakes. So maybe I'm talking out of turn and it could be that, but I guess, you know, with North Carolina's success with Big Mia too, they just had Armando Bacot for, you know, how many years and other guys, and Hubert Davis is, it's funny because I think we've gotten to the point where Hubert Davis is almost an underrated coach. I really like him. So the Tar Heels, I don't know that I would want to go up against that. You know, they got nothing against Baylor. They're, you know, a sensational basketball program at this point. But North Carolina is still North Carolina with a great coach and with a pedigree and obviously probably the financial means to get that done as well. And Baylor has, you know, a lot of the same things. But you wonder if they're a little bit more gettable now that they've lost to their two top assistant coaches.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I said on our Discord over at patreon.com/streamlawtodayDY, because I said I'd like to go up against Baylor because of Alvin Brooks and John Jacobs being gone. And they'd be, I mean, I'm sure they've had some back channel conversations with Clifford Amore, but it feels like K-State would have the stronger relationship at this point, given Baylor's pursuit of Jonas Adu and K-State prioritizing Amore. So we'll see there, but I'm like you. I'd rather go up against Baylor. Not ideal in either situation, but Armando Bacot coming off his career in North Carolina, they'd sell the All-American bigs and everything and the pedigree and the history of the Tar Heel program. So I think I would rather have that unfold. Either way, like, you know, Nick Pringle's off the board now, so I don't know, unless somebody else enters new, we're going to have to come up with some names potentially for that five spot over the ensuing days if they don't land Amore. So going to be fascinating to watch there. Real quick, put a bow on basketball recruiting transfer portal updates. Baba Miller, as we're recording this on Monday morning, we expect him to make a decision potentially this week as well. Sounds like it's going to be between K-State, Florida Atlantic, and Wake Forest, DY, on the 6'11", 3/4 that we know K-State badly covets. He took official visits to both Wake and FAU this last weekend. Where do you think that one sits?
Be honest, I don't know. That one's kind of a mystery to me. He's definitely focusing on fit more. That's why he's even considering a school like FAU as well. There was a lot of Wake Forest noise there for 24-48 hours, so you wonder if that's a thing. He obviously visited there. He maybe already has visited both. I'm not certain at this point. Obviously visited K-State, you know, for Jerome Tang to kind of fulfill and try to get that roster secure as quickly as he wanted. He probably really needs this one, but Baba Miller is probably approaching his recruitment much more differently than any other option that Kansas State has pursued this cycle, I would say.
It's just interesting that he visited K-State. K-State went and flew to him, did an in-home visit as well, and then just kind of went silent for a couple weeks, and we thought he was going to choose K-State, and then ends up these visits to FAU and Wake Forest kind of came out of nowhere. So seems that he's really thinking through this process. We'll see what unfolds over the ensuing days, but rumors are that he may commit this week. Wildcats would love to have him as kind of that four spot guy, Naquan Tomlin role, if they were to land him. So we'll keep eyes on that one. And then Caleb Battle, who we've already talked about multiple times, Arkansas guard transfer. He was also on campus at the same time as Clifford Amore, 6'5", senior guard, going to enter his sixth year of college basketball because of the COVID season, et cetera. K-State feels pretty good about this one, right, D.Y.?
Yeah, anything could happen. So we'll see how it unfolds in the next handful of days. But I think everyone that knows something here probably feels good about where Kent State is positioned at this current time. And again, this is Monday morning. I've seen crazier shit happen, so we'll see.
All right, let's transition to football talk and the Colorado Buffaloes with DY rocking the home field apparel Colorado hoodie there, or sweatshirt. So Dylan Edwards is a Wildcat, DY. This recruitment feels a lot different than the last one with how quickly this happened since he entered the portal. Just before we dive into the significance of this addition, what do you make of him, you know, choosing K-State and this unfolding in such a rapid pace that it did, and the Wildcats securing his services?
That the allure of Avery Johnson probably was a tremendous factor. I don't know that I'm going to like comment on anything else. Like, I don't know if this is a sign that, you know, he's different than what he was a year ago. Who knows? I don't want to go into that department. I think more than anything, it's a sign that he already knew Kansas State because his dad played there. They recruited him hard out of high school. He was once committed there. So there is still a comfort there, even though there was probably some awkward feelings at some point. But he gets back, probably feels comfortable all over again. And it really seems like the locker room, you know, which is in a great spot right now, was ready to accept him as well. And I think that's not a small thing in all of this, because I think that was an important part. I don't think that the locker room wasn't going to be for it. I don't think you do it. So I think this shows that he wanted to go to K-State. And I think the Avery Johnson draw was significant. But I think the locker room was ready to take him as well, because they know that his ability can take them to the next level.
Saw a lot of the social media reactions of excitement right from players on the team, and I think that's a good sign, obviously. And maybe a different way to frame it up, DY, is just, you know, sometimes I hear people say, like, oh, Chris Glyman, not a great recruiter, and I get Avery Johnson helped with this, but this is just another notch in the belt of K-State beating out some big-time schools. You had Georgia rumored on Dylan Edwards. You had, obviously, Nebraska in on him, Ole Miss, et cetera. Just another notch in the belt of K-State football over the last few years under Klieman and co, landing another big-time piece.
Yeah, and I guess my comment on that would be, you know, Kansas State across the board is probably not an excellent recruiting function, just because I think there are some assistant coaches that are a little bit not up to par in that area. And I'm not going to call any out, but, you know, I think there's a few that probably aren't as exceptional as what you would like them to be. But if you ask me to, like, put together, you know, Kent State's best recruiters, Chris Klieman might be at the top of the list. Like, in general, he is an outstanding recruiter himself and very active and eager to do it. He understands the importance of it, and he's really effective at it.
So let's talk about what this means for this football team. They have Big 12 championship aspirations, and as a result, they have college football aspirations, because if you win the Big 12, you win as a Power 4 league, you're getting in to the college football playoff. We already thought K-State had a lot of talent on offense, and now they add a 5'9", 175-pound running back that's one of the fastest players in the country, timed his laser time 40 at the Under Armour Fastest Man competition out of high school, would have ranked in the top 25 this last year of NFL Combine laser time 40s. So big-time talent, big-time speed and explosiveness coming to Manhattan. What does it mean for this offense, adding him?
He did electricity. Explosiveness, you know, something that they were lacking a year ago, and now you got it a few different departments, because I think this is only going to make Keegan Johnson better. It's only going to make Gary Oakley better. I think Jace Brown was already on that trajectory to be really, really good. Avery Johnson's fast and explosive, so you're going to get it from him as well. DJ Giddens is a 1,200-yard rusher from a year ago. So you just got a lot of things to account for and pay attention to now as a defense when you have to game plan for the Kansas State offense. And, you know, some of it's going to be probably using Dylan Edwards a little bit of as a Swiss Army knife too, because I don't think you already have DJ Giddens. Dylan Edwards probably doesn't want to be a bell cow. Like you said, he's 5'9", 170, right? So, you know, give him 8 to 10 carries a game and then throw it to him 5 to 7 times a game. And over time, he's going to get as many touches as he probably wants and envisions. He's just going to get him in different ways. And I think that's a great thing. And use him on jet sweeps, stuff like that. Use him in the slot. He's your Swiss Army knife. And to be honest, I mean, we're aware of this. We talked about it. Like Kansas State, you know, if you looked at the bookmakers, the odds and all that stuff was already seen as the Big 12 favorite or close to it, whether or not you want to give it to Utah. Some might give it to Arizona, but K-State was right there, right, with those two before this. So, and I think he's that much of a difference maker that can put them over the top. Like, I thought K-State was probably a Big 12 title contender before this. If you do this and you shore up the middle linebacker spot, it's hard for me not to pick Kansas State to win the Big 12.
What are realistic expectations for him as a sophomore coming into this system? John asked me this last night on the pod that we did in terms of numbers. What I mean, it's hard to project. I had a hard time with it. He had a 600 all-purpose yards at Colorado last year.
Yeah, and he got all that almost in one game, right? So
yeah,
he's going to be a punt. And I would imagine he's on punt and kick return too, given Kansas State tremendous field position. I think that's something that's probably being glossed over a bit and how he can affect the game for Kansas State as a kick and punt returner. And they needed that because, you know, obviously he had probably not as good of a season last year at it, but Phil Brooks was the, you know, it seemed like he was the kick returner for Kansas State for a decade, and he's no longer on the roster. It was probably, you know, the ones I had heard for were Keegan Johnson and Jacob Parrish. Now you don't have to use one of them, or at least you don't have to use them as much. So that's interesting. Numbers, I don't know. I would take Trayshawn Wirtz probably and say, you know, he's going to be able to do at least that, but probably a little bit more, especially in the passing game.
I think I estimated between 550 to 600 rushing yards, DY, and around 350 to 400 receiving yards. Trayshawn was right around 550, 600 rushing and a couple hundred receiving. So I think go ahead.
My bold prediction would be that he probably is going to do more in the receiving category than any of us are projecting.
Yeah. Well, and he talked about it. I had the quote last night on the pod that we did, that in spring ball this last year, it was an April 9th article where he talked about how he's just going to, he's becoming an all around threat, and he's willing to go out at wide receiver. He's willing to be not just, you know, in the backfield. He wants to be an all around threat and known as that. So he's open to going out, motioning out, splitting out at wide receiver. Heck, you could split out, talked about this last night, you could split out DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards at the same time. They could be in split back sets. DJ Giddens can catch the football too. So they've got a lot of weapons.
DJ Giddens is probably an NFL running back, so you're not going to want to diminish his role much at all, if at all. And the way you kind of make this work is to wild Dylan Edwards, and at least in the backfield, maybe something similar to Trayshawn Ward, but getting him more in the receiver game, because I think that's, you can get him the ball in space a little bit easier too when he's lined up out wide.
I envision him being on the field a significant amount of time at the same time as DJ Giddens. Like, I don't picture being an either or on the field a lot. I think they're going to be out there together quite a bit. And he'll spell Giddens at times too. Joe Jackson probably has a role too. But anyways, to put a wrap on this, DY, anything else in the portal? Elijah Herring, big time middle linebacker transfer, led Tennessee in tackles last year with 80. He visited this last weekend as well. Kansas State is in the hunt and pursuit for a middle linebacker to give him depth there. This is the ideal fit. I believe he is the number two ranked linebacker to enter in the spring portal window, specifically out of the On3 industry rankings. So where do things kind of sit there, and what would be the significance of this addition potentially?
Yeah, his significance is high because Kansas State has a great need at the middle linebacker spot now that Jake Clifton's not going to be on the roster. So that's probably, from a starting standpoint, I think we can all agree that's probably the only glaring hole that remained for Kansas State going into the 2024 season. And to fulfill it with a leading tackler from an SEC school, I think you'll take that run any day. So I think it's very significant. And again, it emboldens me more about thinking, you know, it's going to be hard for Kansas to not pick Kansas State as the Big 12 champion, you know, when the predictions come out and all that stuff. I think, you know, if you already have Dylan Edwards, if you got Elijah Herring, it's really, really hard not to pick Kansas State in that scenario, because you're shoring up all your needs, but you're doing it with really productive players. I mean, he led Tennessee in tackles, I think, last year with 80, and he did that because he had to step up. You know, he was going to be the backup going into the season, I believe. Keenan Peely, I think, was their – or Peely, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think he was going to be their starter. And then, obviously, he got hurt, and Herring steps up and takes over and leads the team in tackles. And now he probably enters the portal because – you don't know if you're going to be the starter that following year because Keenan Peely is going to come back. So we'll see. Chances, I don't know. He visited Colorado, visited Kansas State. He flirted with the idea of taking other visits. We'll see what happens with that. I know we kind of heard that it might just be a K-State-Colorado battle, so it'll be interesting how that goes. Colorado did just add a linebacker, too, in Charlotte, transfer to Kai Greenhill, a similar player there as well. So, you know, you kind of try to use that as ammunition to get Elijah Herring, probably, but, you know, Kansas State might not be done a linebacker either.
Yeah, they may add a second linebacker as well. Alex Marenko, a guy that also is probably down to K-State in Arizona, another middle linebacker option, and there'll be some other probably visitors on that front potentially as well. Stay on the lookout. K-State looks to address backup quarterback still, nose tackle depth, and a few other areas, offensive line. Shambly, the guy that visited from Arkansas, a guy they covet. We'll see what unfolds over the ensuing weeks on that front. Regardless, we'll have you covered with frequent updates when things break or when there's news and updates here on 3Maw. So appreciate all of you tuning in, and be on the lookout for the next pod. We'll be here probably a couple days later talking more recruiting updates, very fluid situation. So appreciate DY, appreciate all of you for jumping on, and appreciate Holiday Distillery. Go get stocked up with Ben Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon or 360 Vodka, as well as Home Field Apparel. And thank you, special shout out to Nick Springer behind the scenes for producing this thing. Appreciate you all for listening to another episode of 3Maw.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.